What can prepare you for this, dating 30 people at the same time? I'm a teacher.
I'm constantly thinking about, like, my students.
This is a new feeling to me.
Overwhelmed in a very good way.
This is hard.
It felt so good.
Absolutely terrible.
Class is in session.
Hello, Internet.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, Grom. What's up? What's up? What's
up? Just watching The Bachelorette.
That's right. I know that's right.
You know, it's, I'm enjoying the season.
Wow. Okay. I mean, usually you have, at this point, very strong feelings. And so I would like for you to, you know, kind of articulate a little bit what has changed for you.
I don't know about has changed for me. I just feel like this is a happier season.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all depressing and angry and
drama.
full of infighting.
Drama and trauma. Right.
What drama?
Listen, I just like it when people get along. Call me old-fashioned. I just like it when people get along.
Just want to watch a show where two crazy kids fall in love, you know?
I do just want to watch a show where two crazy kids fall in love.
I know. It's a big deal.
That's all I want.
So from the other side of Bachelor Nation news, if anybody wasn't keeping up with the discourse over the past week...
Are we counting the first piece of news that I'm having a good time this season?
Sure.
First piece of Bachelor Nation
news. Adam's having an okay time. The second one is that Hannah Brown and Peter hooked up while his season was airing, specifically in that window where he had, quote-unquote, reconciled with Maddie, which continues to solidify something that we've all known. Peter is so gross.
Yeah, I don't really care for this piece of news. Both of those people are not people I care about anymore.
No, no. And I find it weird that, I mean, obviously she's got a book coming out. So she's on the promo trail for this. But, like, it's just such a weird thing to kind of bring up and, you know, talk about. And, you know, it more so continues to further the narrative that Peter is disgusting.
She's disgusting, too.
Well,
we're going to look back.
Hannah's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And
no.
Clearly.
I don't even know if I would say we're going to look back. We can stop right now and look back and just say, man, we went through a really rough patch
picking
the leads on this show for
sure
a while.
Did. We sure did.
They just got dumber and younger and less likable. And
not here for the right reasons, TBH.
I just said younger, because I was trying to make it. I was trying to like force the rhyme with dumber.
Dumber, younger,
and
younger.
Yeah, when I say it the next time, I should hit the G harder.
Thank you very much.
I apologize to our listeners.
Right, especially for you who doesn't appreciate that.
I don't. I should be way more phonetically, you know, inclined than that.
So the second big piece of Bachelor Nation news is that Tayshia and Zach have called off their engagement.
Wow. Great news for me.
Great news for
Adam. So you're saying there's a chance.
So I'm saying there's a chance. This was a tough one. I think a lot of people... Tayshia really blossomed after her season. I mean, they've been using her so much as sort of, you know, the host on the show. She did a ton of press after the show. She had that beautiful spread in Marie Claire. You know, she's really become...
She's really gotten more famous.
No, for real. I mean, not just more famous, but she's really... They've really invested in her as one of the faces of the franchise that they really want to attach to. So it's really sad that their relationship didn't work out.
I'm okay with it.
I know you are.
You know, I'm just saying as a man who is available to her, if she's listening to this...
Sure, sure.
On a technicality, I am married.
Right.
But that's just on paper.
That's on paper. That doesn't mean anything.
That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It is a marriage of podcasting convenience.
Right. There are all kinds of relationships that are out there that are available. You know, who's to say that if Tayshia wasn't like Adam, this is it. And you sent through me a text message and said, Tayshia's here.
I wouldn't even send you a text message. I would tell you after, then the second step is I would expect you to be excited for me.
No, send me a text, because I would at least be encouraging you, and then I would be like, okay, he's not coming home tonight, I can go to sleep with
a starfish. I assume there's a sort of unspoken acceptable list for me, and that she's on it.
Well, I'm so horned up.
And that I could tell you after and still get away with it.
Yeah. Her, Ana de Armas, Janelle Monáe.
Yeah.
There's a couple of
Priyanka Chopra.
Priyanka Chopra, sure.
Yeah,
sure,
Leslie
sure,
Murphy.
Sure. Leslie while Murphy, we're in the course, universe. Of course, Leslie Murphy.
The list goes on.
Yeah, I mean, you don't mind.
Do obviously.
You? Do you?
Oscar Isaac.
Yeah.
Chris Evans.
Absolutely.
Who else? Anybody who else? I call your boyfriend. Simu Liu.
Oh, God. Yes. Whew. What a time to be alive.
Who from the Bachelor franchise?
I don't know.
Anybody?
People have kind of petered off for me where I'm like, you know.
Ooh, well, you
not...
said Peter. Sorry.
No!
Oh,
no,
sorry.
No, no.
That's...
Chris.
I got it. You got to take your first answer.
Chris
here.
Stapleton. Chris Don.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I approve of that.
Those light eyes be getting to me.
He's a dunker. He's more than a dunker.
Ooh, wee.
So
we're still in Minneapolis.
Now that that's public.
Yeah, so we're still in Minneapolis. That's pretty cool.
This is a big week.
This is a big week.
We start the episode. There are 8 bachelors left.
Yeah.
And basically the first thing they tell us is if you get a group date, if you get a rose this week, group date, one-on-one date, if you get a rose, you make it to hometowns. We're going from 8 to 4 in one episode.
So I really feel like that is a very quick turnaround. I don't know, or I can't remember in recent history when we've gone from 8 to 4. I mean, I remember us going from 6.
I do think it's happened. I do think it's happened before, but I think it's happened before on seasons where we, like, you know, messed around and went 3 episodes without a rose.
Again,
we can look back now and say, boy, some of these recent seasons really got out of control.
They really got out of control.
So,
so this is really a big deal. And so this week in particular, Michelle's students are planning all of the dates.
How adorable.
Honestly, I love this. And as we know, wait, did you know Michelle was a teacher?
Wait.
Hold on.
No.
Wait.
Next thing you're going to tell me, she's not a soccer player.
No, she plays basketball.
I don't know what that is.
Right?
Right?
Insane.
Basketball, the sport where you kick the ball around into the net. You can't use your hands?
No, it's the sport that you use a puck and it's on ice.
There's no ice in Minneapolis.
I'm just saying. So,
meanwhile, the Mighty Ducks. Right. The Mighty Ducks and D2 just stand
the
up and
entire
go, what?
Identity of Minneapolis. Quack. is that. So Michelle's students, as we know, she has great relationships with them. We've seen them at the beginning of the season. We've seen her engage with kids kind of throughout the season. And so for these to be specific kids from her class is just so beautiful and sweet and wonderful. And they're just great. These 4 great kids that, you know, helped her plan all of this stuff.
They're all cute. There's 4 of them. There's 2 boys, 2 girls.
Love it.
It's very adorable.
It's very cute.
They are incredibly well trained to be on camera.
And now
I'm shocked at this.
And now we had this conversation that I think kids now are a little bit more savvy to being recorded because their parents are like posting them on social media and taking pictures of them all the time with their phones. And they also use phones themselves. Whereas I think we were not the generation that had that kind of access and visibility.
You don't think so? You don't think when your dad lugged out the 40-pound video camera and hauled it on his shoulder and aimed that thing at you, there wasn't pressure to perform?
I mean, Adam, I don't know about you, but I was TikTok in the Summerstock production of The Phantom Tollbooth, so
I
was comfortable on camera. I was on television when my mother was a reporter, so I was media trained.
Were you media trained? You absolutely were. If this were me, if I were Luke, little kid Luke, the littlest
Luke
guy.
Luke was so cute.
Luke is my favorite. He was like the littlest one of the 4 of them.
He had this beautiful speech impediment that was just, oh God, right, I love
him. You swap out 9, 10-year-old me with Luke, and I would have sat there and they go, well, tell us what you like about Mrs. Young. And I would have said,
nothing.
And then I would have just peed my pants.
I would have said absolutely nothing.
Instantly soaked.
You just would not have peed your pants in 5th grade.
One leg drenched.
And they would have been like, Adam, we didn't even give you
any
water.
We don't know
what
to do with you.
We didn't even give you any water.
Don't stand up, don't sit down. Just, can you do it in the grass? Can we do this interview in the grass?
He's not even wearing shorts.
I would not have been comfortable. I was amazed at how good these kids were on camera. It was adorable.
It was very cute. Now, again, Adam, this is a television show. So...
I know, but that adds to the pressure.
I understand.
If you're,
but they didn't just.
If you're like a 10-year-old pants wetter,
right? They didn't just.
Not that I am.
But they. Well.
Not that I was.
It remains to be seen.
I was a quiet kid.
Now, granted, they didn't just pick four random children.
I know. I said that to you.
Okay, sure. They interviewed.
They probably asked her with the four most outgoing kids. Yeah, they said,
you
know,
who are the most outgoing kids that would be good on television that you have a connection with that would be really good for this segment? And she provided some answers. They did some interviewing. And then now we have the group that's here. I mean, that's how it happened.
They were great kids.
They were great kids.
So the four kids come in. Michelle is out of the equation.
Yeah.
The four kids come in. They meet all of the eight remaining guys.
This is more of an open interview process.
It's a big play date.
Which I like. It's a big play date, which, you know, which is truly how you meet people.
It's how you meet kids. It's how you make friends with all of your 10-year-old friends.
Yeah, I used to have a play date. And then the parents go outside and they drink wine and then, you know, everybody's on the jungle gym and then somebody starts screaming and you're like, are you bleeding?
You're like,
and then everybody says
nap
no.
Time.
And then it's like, okay, well then let's all go inside and watch a movie. I'll continue to drink wine. And then we'll all go home.
It's funny because the little kids, they're not, I don't want to say they're not something. They are too innocent to do this play around television talk where they say things like the journey and like, you know, they don't understand the fake language that the show uses. And so, little girl Kelsey, other fan, I mean, honestly, all four of them are my favorite.
Yeah.
She goes, listen, I'm here to find out who are the good guys and who are the bad guys.
I don't want any funny business is what she said.
She goes, listen, I think there are bad guys here and I think they're good guys, and I'm going to get down to it.
And here's the thing. She's right.
Children they're just walking lie detector tests.
In the words of Whitney Houston, they are our future. So teach them well and let them lead the way. So the kids meet and talk with everybody. They have different interactions. Clayton is making a fort with some of the children. Rodney is having a very great discussion. Everybody's enjoying their time with the
your
kids.
Your three big winners here. Rodney, Clayton, and Nate.
Yes, Rodney was doing a secret handshake with one of the kids. Clayton was having a fabulous time in the fort. Nate, surprise, because Nate is the most charismatic person ever, and like we've said before, could own and operate his own cult, is killing it, okay?
I think you're looking at Rodney, the most childish, Clayton, the strongest, the biggest muscles, and Nate, sort of the tallest and also just the best energy. Those are your three winners.
And I would say Luke was a little obsessed with Clayton's muscles. So much so that
Luke did not stop talking about it.
Luke was like, you know what I like? Muscles.
Luke is so little.
And this guy's got it.
He's so little.
He's so cute.
It's great.
Of all the commentary that the kids gave, which was generally positive about everybody, Kelsey, who really was looking for someone to really pin that villain.
No, she was on a mission.
To pin that villain medal on. She said of Martin, I don't really like Martin. I can't explain it. He wears too much cologne. And I said, well.
You're right.
I think you're right. I think you got it.
You've got a life in front of you of being the best friend of the hot girl and just judging all of her boyfriends, and that's okay.
She's extremely discerning, and honestly, I would love to have her as a best friend, as a wing woman, to say, is this the guy for me? And she would say, I don't like him. I don't know why, but I don't. But I will specifically say cologne? The cologne is a problem for
me.
So it was all very sweet. So based on the interview process, as I'd like to call it, the children picked who would be their choice for a special one-on-one date.
They picked
with
all
Michelle.
They picked all the dates.
They picked all the activities for the dates, but they didn't pick the people. They only picked the person for this one, the museum date.
And then
in
she
particular.
Picked the second one-on-one.
Correct.
Date. Oh, I misunderstood that.
Correct.
Thing. Okay, so who did they pick?
They picked the muscle-bound meathead, the Thor of the Midwest, the underbite of the Mizzou Tigers, Clayton.
Great. We don't know him very well.
We sure don't.
Let's go on a one-on-one date with Clayton.
And as mentioned several times across the podcast and, you know, in the news and whatever, as we know, Clayton is the next Bachelor. So we've been waiting.
He's going to show us something.
Here, right. Right. We've been waiting for him to show us something, for him to give us something.
To woo me.
Make me feel it in my loins. Make my nipples hard. You know what I'm saying? And,
Whoa, there are children involved in this episode.
I mean,
keep your nipples to yourself.
Sorry. They get it. They've seen them. They get it. And so this is his opportunity to show me why they picked him as the Bachelor.
So this is a very child-friendly date. It is a date, if you were 10, it is a date you would imagine.
I'm going to push back on you for this, Adam.
I'm 34.
I'm 34, and I want to go on this date tomorrow night.
So it starts with a limo picks you up.
Yes.
And there's a pizza party in the back.
Hello?
This is like the grand prize of the monthly book it contest.
Stop it. Don't say that, not book it.
It is the personal pan pizza that you get no matter what.
I know that's
And then
right.
It is the one lucky kid who gets it in the back.
It's a pizza party.
This is the height of luxury.
This is the height of luxury.
This is what Macaulay Culkin does when he has his dad's credit card in New York. He gets a large cheese pizza in the back of a limo, and this is the height of luxury.
This is blank check.
So, we got pizza, we got candy, we got, you know, celebrate a month of reading books. We're in the back of the limo. Great. We're going to the museum.
Guys, I exploded. As you know, I love museums. There's nothing more that I enjoy.
Maybe the zoo. Which is like an animal
which
museum.
Which is an animal museum, right? Which I've also expressed to several people several times where they're like, Taylor, why do you like going to the zoo? I'm like, because it's a museum, but it's outside and it's animals. This is great. Everything about museums are great. You get to learn about history. You get to understand artifacts. You get to see where we came from. You get to talk to people. You get to look at exhibits.
Interact with the science.
You get to interact with science. Science, people! Like, I mean, I know that this is not, you know, what we actually did for our honeymoon, but if we had gone to DC for like a week and went to all the museums, that would have been...
We went to the zoo in Australia.
We did, and I held a koala, and it scratched the living hell out of my shoulders, but I had a great time.
25 to Life is an anti-koalas podcast.
I know, you've talked about your disdain for koalas quite a bit.
My disdain for koalas is reciprocal because they have attacked you, person close to my on paper wife.
Right.
They attacked you.
Be clear. Just on paper.
You know, I feel like I owe it to the species to hold a grudge.
Remember when we saw that big bird that looked like a dinosaur?
The cassowary.
That was crazy! But you know, there's a lot of crazy stuff in Australia.
Everything crazy lives
Everything
in Australia.
Everything crazy is in Australia. So, they are trying to figure out where the relationship is at. Clayton takes, of course, the traditional bit of time to warm up. Michelle is starting to vibe with him, and so she's really using this date as the catalyst to figure out is she in or she out.
So the museum part of the date is great.
Great!
Clayton performs better than I expected at that. He has a good time. He has fun, you know. And you know, at the end of this, you go, oh, well, if he gets a rose, he's through to hometowns.
Exactly.
Or maybe he won't.
Exactly.
And in the the actual museum run and whatever, that's a good time.
Yeah, he's not taking himself seriously. She really appreciates that. They're making jokes. It's very cute. So during the date, they did this activity where they took little butterflies out of the ceiling and then answered questions. One of them was, what one superpower would you want to have?
Yeah.
Adam, what was your superpower?
Telekinesis. Obviously.
Yes, obviously.
I'm a human, a mortal now, currently.
Human man.
Who just values the brain power a lot.
Yes.
So when
you also watched a lot of X-Men as a kid.
Right, yes.
So that's a
obviously.
Piece of it. That's a piece of it.
You know, you can't, some guys are just, you're either into Jean Grey or you're not, okay?
Well, Jean Grey fainted a lot on the show, which I really don't understand. But I think it was because Charles Xavier was working the entire team too hard.
I mean, he's great. But you're either into her or not. You're either into this hyper, hyper powerful, mostly self-destructive
Omega level mutant.
probably the most powerful mutant of them all.
Exactly.
Or you're not.
The Phoenix.
And
capital T, capital P.
Yeah. If I could pick telekinesis, I would transpose my preferred mortal power into a preferred superhero powder.
Right.
Powder?
Powder?
I would be a very...
Wait a minute.
A very...
Honey, there's no hope with dope.
A very dry telekinetic superhero. What about you?
I struggle. One obviously would be time travel because we talk about time travel so much.
You could go back and tell everyone.
Oh, I would go back.
Oh my
and
god!
Tell
could you imagine?
Be like, oh my god, we can time travel.
You go back and tell everybody, and they would be like, prove it. You'd be like, I already did.
I'm doing it. Time travel would be interesting. Obviously, there would need to be parameters, and obviously, I would probably know a lot about the science of time travel and being like, I can't touch anything. But I could whisper stuff into certain people's ears and like maybe change the course of history. Like, does that sound fun? Maybe shape-shifting could be cute. Mm. I mean, but it's like a very low.
Like
it's low.
Animorphs type thing or like.
No, I'm not turning into
like Green Lantern type thing.
No, Green Lantern, it projects things that he thinks of in his mind.
So like, who are we talking about?
I'm talking, you know, if we're going the X-Men route, I'm talking Mystique. I'm talking shape-shifting. I'm talking, you know, becoming other people, like, you know, changing things about yourself or, like, whatever. I'm not saying that I want to be an entire blue human being with, like, orange hair, which could be a look, honestly.
But then you could also look like anything.
But I could look like anything. And I could finally get my hair down to, you know, my bra strap.
Incredible.
Which would be great for everybody.
Incredible.
Right? And then they asked, what's the one holiday that you would, if you could only celebrate one holiday, what would you celebrate? We said two different holidays.
Christmas. It's in my name.
Thanksgiving.
It's in your name, too.
Thanksgiving is the answer. So we go to the evening portion. Well, it is all the evening portion of the day, right?
Speaking of evening portion, you know, we talked about this last week. I did not have time. Sorry. Our tireless sound editing staff did not have time to go in and grab a fun soundbite for evening portion of the day.
She was so
However, busy.
So busy.
This week you'll notice we are introducing some new sounds from our favorite Saved by the Bell PSA.
I know, that's right.
We're going to pepper them in all the way throughout the episode, and they're just in the bar now. We
yes.
can use them whenever we want. It's 200 episodes too late for us to have done this.
Dumb.
But I'm glad it happened late rather than never. Anyway. What were we actually talking about here?
So evening we go to the evening portion of the day.
I just got so Kapowski'd.
You got really excited. Brandon Tartikoff really just set you off.
Right.
So Clayton really talks about how he takes a minute to warm up to his environment and that his problem about not being able to be in a relationship was really that he got super invested in, you know, getting his MBA and his work, that his personal life sort of fell to the wayside. And I don't want to be this person. And I'm not attracted to trauma. I'm not attracted to, you know, people who are wounded birds that I need to save or things like that. As you know. You know,
I know
being
I know
my
that.
Husband on paper.
I know that, but you know, we do the show not for me, for the listeners.
Sure. And so it's not something that to me makes me feel like, oh my gosh, you've been through so much, like you deserve love. And I think we've talked about
the
this.
Underbite is severe.
I mean,
you know.
But Frank, but listen, I had a Herbst appliance and he has the access and ability to do the same. Look it up. I'm not attracted to trauma, but he really has none. He has no story. He has no narrative. I mean, it's not strong enough for me to hear from this man that he said, I'm a workaholic and that's the reason that I haven't been in a relationship. And he also talked a lot about how worried he is about how he looks and appears to other people.
Everyone's worried about that.
Yeah. But those are your two identifying characteristics about, like, this is me being super vulnerable.
He is not. So I have two things to say. The first thing is to agree with you. He is.
Wow. Oh.
He is not unique.
Right.
He's very bland.
Right.
Second thing to say. And this is going to have two parts. Boy, I just really like outlining tonight.
Well, I love structure.
For is this what single people talk about on dates? You know, I really want to be vulnerable. That's fake, right? That's what people talk about on dates on The Bachelor.
Yes, yes. Because
in real life,
you know, you send your representative for the first 3 months and you're still trying to figure out, you know, whether this person is sane or not. And then eventually the two of you hook up in whatever time frame of this. And then you really learn that this person is super insecure 9 months into the relationship and you go, oh no.
Stupid.
So, okay. So the second part of that one, and this is advice for real life that I'm giving from writing class. The very first ever rule that you learn in writing class. Do you know what this is? Like creative writing class. I'm not talking about journalism writing class.
I feel like this is a trap.
No, do you know what it is?
Is it like, I mean, you know, when you tell me,
it's show, don't tell. Mm-hmm. And this is not a Clayton thing. This has been happening with every guy all season. I'm just tired of this. Yeah, I just want to be vulnerable. I just want to find somebody I'm vulnerable with. That's not conversation. Here's a real conversation. Listen, yeah. I've got an underbite so bad, I don't know if I should be on TV right now. Like, don't tell me you want to be vulnerable.
I mean, he's showing
be
it.
Be vulnerable.
I mean, that's talk about telling. He doesn't need to say anything about it. It's like, I can see it. Show, don't tell.
I mean, I'm just saying.
But also, I think I hear you on the vulnerability thing, but that is also a narrative structure they're creating for the show.
But just
because people are stupid and they're creating a structure for Michelle for people to say, okay, she's a teacher and she's a basketball player. What are the things about the relationships that she's been in that she wants to be different? She wants somebody to be vulnerable. So they're regurgitating those same words back to you so that you can connect and say, oh, okay, this guy said vulnerable. Okay. This guy didn't say it.
So hear me out. What if, instead of just regurgitating the words back and changing the tense from I want you to I am, what if instead of that, they just listened and then changed the way they act to be that?
Crazy.
I'm going to be honest with you. That's pretty wild.
You know?
I'm going to be really honest with you. You just asked the question about, is this what dating is like?
I don't know.
That's what you wish. That's what people wish dating was like. Dating is not like that because people don't show who they are for real when you're dating somebody. They just don't do that.
Why isn't everyone honest about everything all the time?
Girl. This is my husband,
question
ladies.
Of my life.
My husband, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, like, let me just step out of the television show for a second. Why aren't we all just honest about our feelings all the time? Okay, back in.
Oh, God.
They have a conversation. It feels like he's saying what he wants to feel a lot more than he's actually feeling it. And
yeah,
it's like the date kind of comes to the end. She's got to make a decision about the rose. And you kind of sit there and go, was that enough? Have you moved the needle on this date? Like, if I were to describe you at the beginning and now, Would I use all of the same words to say?
Right. Yeah. Right. No.
That's what I was thinking.
No, I would not have anything different to say about Clayton. I would say the same thing. I would probably still say, I mean, he seems nice, but there's nothing that is attaching me to him and the fact that he is going to be the next Bachelor. Honestly.
He has no personal stuff to talk about. It's all this like meta relationship commentary.
Yeah.
And I don't know. This guy, it just seems like we've done it again. We've picked just another bimbo.
Yeah.
I don't know. You get to the end of the date, you just feel like this is just another muscly dude, you know, who needs some
orthodontia. Yeah.
Honey.
Okay.
Wow.
We've been in the house for too long.
I thought
together.
You were going to say braces, and mm-hmm. I was going to get you with the more sophisticated word.
No.
You hit me right back.
I'm a girl that likes to say menagerie instead of zoo, so you better watch yourself. So Michelle didn't give him the rose.
Nope.
And
You weren't really cheering for her to do it, were you?
He And unfortunately, he showed more emotion reading the goodbye letters from the kids.
That was coached. That was propaganda.
It was obviously it was propaganda. He was showing more emotion from the kids who wrote him those notes than when Michelle sent him home. And I think that speaks volumes as well.
I just don't think he's interesting.
He's not.
You know?
He's absolutely not interesting.
Is he nice? Sure. But like nice, sure, is not
a lot television. A lot of people are nice.
Sure.
Sure.
He's gone.
He's gone and I don't miss him.
What is his highlight of the season? It's reading the note after he leaves, he reads a note from the kids. It's very cute. Kelsey's penmanship is chef's kiss.
I know.
Okay. But he reads it, he cries, and you go, this is the only moment he's had, and it was manufactured.
He did have the let's go in the previous episode.
I just blocked that out because I just don't believe
it. You don't
it.
Subscribe I don't to believe the culture. In that. Sure, sure, sure.
This is it for Clayton. We'll talk about him at the end of the road, but anything else from this date you want to bring up?
Nope.
Great.
I love museums.
Museums are great. Let's go to the group date. So
on the group date, we have Nate, Rodney, Martin, Rick, Olu, and Joe. Again, Michelle's students were planning the date. And so, guys, this is a Taylor Robinson special. We're going to the farm today.
Why is this a Taylor Robinson special?
You
feel like you're connected to the farm in some way?
I also love the farm in the way that I like museums. It's not like, you know, there's not a history aspect really to the farm. It's really about working with your hands. It's the animals. It's, you know, the working class nature of farmers, not in sort of a blue collar way, because I in my mind, like the blue collar experience and farmers are two different groups of people.
I think you're right. Because I think if you ask me,
right,
like I am not a like. Farms. I'm going to go.
Honey, you have a lot of allergies, and that also contributes to you not being a farm person.
But I feel like I'm an academic, but I'm a country boy, like also.
Oh, for sure.
I do yard work. I do housework. I have work ethic because I grew up
in
a country situation.
And every like fair that we've ever gone to, we always go through the animal you and I have always gone through the animal like tent where I'm like, we got to see the rabbits. I want to see the pigs. I want to see how big this cow is. And then every time I see these like beautiful cows, I'm like, oh my God, what a beautiful cow. Like, am I crazy? I love the farm. I really do.
Great date for you.
It is.
We do a bunch of farm-related stuff.
And also, as part of the farm-related experience, it's not just the animals. It is the act of making your own food and pillaging and foraging. You're making butter. Sometimes at the farms you can make candles, which is also very nice.
It's a lot easier than making butter.
You learn to sew. You learn to knit. Not to mention if they're Amish run. I mean, you ever had an Amish applesauce? Haven't lived.
Farm people, do-it-yourself people. Amish farm people are like another whole other level.
Right. They say it's nighttime and we have to go to bed.
They're do-it-myself.
It's nighttime and we have to go to bed. We used to have these people that would help us like do landscaping at the house, and they were Amish, and they all their tools were like
made of wood.
No, for real.
And bones.
Well, not bones. I mean, they're not like witches. But they had a ladder, and it was a ladder like they made. Like, you know, you think you go to Lowe's.
It was
and
just
buy a
wood
ladder.
Tied together.
No, I'm serious. It was like a wooden ladder. And they did a beautiful job. The bushes were gorgeous. I love the farm. I just love it.
Work ethic is attractive.
It's very attractive.
So
what do we learn about day. What do we learn about some of these guys while they're
I feel like
there?
Honestly, we I learned feel a lot. Like I we feel like that. We learned that five of them are pretty cool.
Yep.
Really cool in some cases.
Yep.
And Martin sucks.
Martin is so prissy. Like he could not bring himself to curl his fingers around the udder of a cow. He got like some, there was a shot where they showed him and he got something on his shirt and he was like brushing it off like, ew, gross. And even Michelle was like, everybody's having a great time. Everybody's loving this. Everybody's feeling the fantasy. And it's very clear that Martin is not feeling this fantasy at all.
He's very worried about his clothes getting dirty.
He is so worried about getting dirty.
That's so
unattractive.
Well, that, and just when you're doing farm stuff, when you're doing any kind of physical labor, it just can't even be a consideration how your clothes come out.
I mean, first of all, you wouldn't go to a farm wearing a white t-shirt. Let's start
there. He didn't know.
I mean, he was not wearing a white t-shirt, but he was wearing a black t-shirt. But like, I mean,
It's, you know, you watch the date and you want to say, hey, Rick did a nice job. Hey, Nate did a nice job. Hey, Joe, they all did a good job.
Rick is so gentle. Joe is like vibing with the cows and like petting them and like letting them like suck his fingers. And like Rodney is having so much fun. Nate is even getting into it, even though he's got a severe back injury. Do you know?
He faked it. He faked it to go hang out with her.
Yeah, well.
It was romantic.
And that's the one thing I did like about this date and I liked about Nate is that you notice over the course of the show, he makes it a point to make every group date his own one-on-one. Like, he does take those moments to go over to Michelle and, like, you know, he'll sit next to her, he'll put his arm around her, and it really shows that he is making an effort to make it feel like they are the only two people in the room.
I feel like Nate is in such a unique situation because he has the energy level and just sort of the vibe. I'm going to use your words here.
Nice.
The vibe where he can do that, and none of the other guys will call him out on it.
Right.
Because they know that they're trailing
him.
He's
the alpha.
He is.
He's the alpha.
Everyone else just sort of goes, yeah. I mean, obviously, Nate's going to do that. He's dad.
He gets to, well, not like dad.
Not like that. Like, yeah, he gets to do that.
He's
the
alpha.
Leader.
Yeah,
he gets to do that.
Yeah, he's the CEO.
It just seems clear. And he's not cocky about it.
No, and that's the thing that I really like about him, too.
It is like you just want Nate to like you so bad.
Yes.
You know?
And I bet they understand the dynamic where they say, I really like Michelle and I hope it's me.
But it's probably Nate.
Right. Yeah, yeah, it's gonna be Nate, and that's fine too.
So that's the farm date.
That's the farm date.
They shovel some poop.
They're churning butter. Like, I'm having a great time.
Honestly,
it makes me really want to go to the farm.
Everyone has a really good time. This
except
is
Martin.
A very high energy, positive date, except Miami Martin, who is having a terrible time because he just doesn't do this. He's too highfalutin for this.
Well, you know. So we go to the evening portion of the date. And we learn from some of the gentlemen sort of some of their deeper backstories, because this is the last group date ever.
It is, of this season.
Of this season. This is the last group date. So this is the opportunity for everybody to kind of, you know, preface with Michelle. Like,
get it out.
Get
Plus,
it
there's
out.
A rose here.
And tell me. And
home, past the hometowns.
Right. And tell me who we're going to meet next week. Like, I want to know. So Nate starts his conversation with Michelle. And I thought this was super, super weird. So Nate also, in his interactions with Michelle, has not really talked about his personal life and his backstory at all. Have you noticed that?
No, because I'm just drinking.
You're
Nate's.
Enamored.
Who isn't?
You're enamored. He has not talked about any of his backstory. And if you remember from the first episode, she asked him, tell me about your family. And he said, oh, we don't have to talk about that right now. And she was like, no. No, we, like, actually do. Like, we it's, like, 5 weeks.
And I don't remember that, but that is an unacceptable answer.
It's weird, right? And so she basically said back to him, she said, no, tell me. No, tell me about your siblings and, like, how you grew up. So this is the first time that we've seen, like, kind of behind the curtain. I wonder if that is something that we need to be aware of. Being that we know more about Joe's backstory than we do about Nate, which is not great. So Nate made a point to say that his dad specifically has said to him, instilled in him, I can't remember if he has siblings or not. Again, another red flag about like him not talking about his family and upbringing, that he doesn't want to talk about girls. He doesn't want anybody to bring any girls home. And that it was not just like something his dad said as he was growing up, that it is a rule and it is still a rule.
That's weird.
Go ahead, Adam. You say something.
Let me ask you a question. Let me answer the question of the question.
Yeah.
When you were, I'll say growing up, before college, and you were at home, did you talk to your mom about boys? If you sat down and you asked your mom, you said, what boy am I into right now? And she would say, could she name it? Like,
yeah.
By observing you or because you told her?
Oh, by observing, because, you know, my mom's nosy. And so she would be like, you know, I would come home from school, or like she would pick me up and see me walking with somebody. Like, she even did that in college. Like, I hugged somebody at graduation and she was like, who is that? I said, you need to relax a little bit, okay? So she would know.
And your boyfriends, obviously before me, the time that doesn't exist, your boyfriends would just go meet your parents. You never had a problem with that, right?
I didn't have a problem, but all of them did not meet my parents.
Okay. Just convenience issues?
No.
Okay. I didn't talk to my parents about girls that I liked, or, you know.
Well,
I didn't date anybody growing up.
Let's tell the story right, Adam.
Doesn't mean that I wasn't into people.
Tell the story right.
Doesn't mean that I wasn't into people. My friends knew who I was into, but my parents did not. But also, it
was it part of the narrative? I mean, it wasn't. I mean, would your parents be able to pick out who you liked from a lineup?
I don't know, but it would have certainly been somebody that they already know on, like, a first-name basis, because I had all the same friends, and, like, I don't know. And nobody was ever discouraged from meeting my parents, or the other way around.
Yeah. I felt like this was really strange.
What kind of dad doesn't want to meet his son's girlfriend?
But it's not just that. It's the strictness of it. And it is the...
Why would you go out of your way to say that?
Yeah, it's the strictness of it. And it is also the, like, the fact that it is still a rule. And Nate is, like, close to 30. And Nate has felt so hamstringed by the rule that he's still holding on to it. Like, I'm really worried about this. Like, that, first of all, that's trauma, okay? Like, if your dad is giving you those kinds of rules that you're telling, like, your future potential wife about, and, like, this is the first time I'm hearing about it, and you're like, yeah, my dad's like, you know, I don't meet girls and I don't want to talk to them ever, that's trauma.
Drama.
Let me propose a thought experiment. If you're, let's say you're Nate's dad, and you want to establish this rule, how do you bring that up? You just go, hey, Nate, you dating anybody? Whoa, don't tell me.
No. I mean, it's...
You just say, listen.
There
you,
is no...
You have a romantic life? Don't tell me about it? Is that what you do?
It's there's no conversation. It's not a dialogue.
How could those words come out of a person's mouth?
Adam, you know, there's a lot of people out here that shouldn't be parents. Okay?
I am. There's two parts of me. And one part of me goes, well, yeah, put yourself in their shoes. You know, not everybody's like you. And the other part of me goes, who could be like this?
A lot of people, you know? Are like that. And then also, like, the fact that Nate has not really talked about his family and his upbringing also makes me think there's something there. I mean, I'll talk a little bit about this in the bold predictions. But, you know, he even said, like, my dad wasn't... He had alluded to early on that his dad wasn't really around, like, in his interstitials in his In the Moment video that they had before he came. He said more in that about his backstory than I think we've heard him say to Michelle, which, again... It's not good. So we say all that to say, that was the first thing Nate said about what his hometown experience is going to be like. But then he also said that he is falling for Michelle. And
that's like the second step of five steps before you get married.
That's right. And she responded.
She said it back. She couldn't wait.
Yes.
She couldn't wait for his sentence to end.
Your girl responded in kind. She said, my heart is literally beating so fast. Oh my God, me too. I love it. So she literally responded almost instantly. I've never seen anything like that.
It seems pretty clear Nate is winning for her.
Yeah.
Any other takeaways from the other guys in their post-farm cocktail date?
Well, Joe was so comfortable on the farm because his grandparents owned and ran a dairy farm.
Great. Did he say anything else interesting?
He absolutely didn't. He didn't say a word.
He's an interesting dude.
He's really something.
By interesting, I mean the opposite of that. That was a sarcastic thing.
He is really something.
Clayton might be boring. Joe is nothing.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
There's a difference between being boring and being nothing.
Yeah. So while Michelle was talking to some of the gentlemen, Martin and Olu, and I think maybe Rodney was there. Not sure.
I think Rick might have been there.
Oh, it was Rick Rickman. You're right. It was Olu and Rick Rickman and Martin were chatting. And Martin kind of goes off the deep end, I would say.
He's very satisfied with himself. For some reason, Martin thinks the show is not really The Bachelorette, where it's about The Bachelorette. He seems to feel like the show is more about other people proving themselves to him.
Yeah.
Michelle especially. He's doing this weird psychoanalysis of her. And, mm-hmm. you know, first of all, there's no way he has a minor in psychology.
No.
You can tell when he talks about it.
Well, he's got too many facial accessories to really make me believe that he would have gone to a lot of school.
He's got this just real stupid psychoanalysis where he says things like, yeah, there was stuff that affected her as a kid, so clearly she's not mature enough to be an adult now.
Yeah.
And you go, have you seen your haircut?
Have you talked about it? So, Martin is also, and has been over the course of the show, very stuck on being misunderstood. And yet, he continues to say things that would warrant me to question what he means when he says things.
He's very pompous.
He's extremely pompous.
He's very pompous, and he talks about other people like they are less than him.
Yes.
And then when he gets called on that, he goes, whoa, 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 this is just a misunderstanding.
Yeah. A lot of that.
That's the repeating cycle we see with Martin.
Yeah. So the thing that really took me down was when he was referencing the conversation they had last week about how he was talking about how women are so high maintenance, and specifically in Miami, and Michelle is so different, and Michelle pressed him on that statement, and then he got defensive. He then said that she was the one that was getting defensive, which is not what happened.
That is a classic argument-losing type reversey situation.
Yeah.
It's worked well exactly zero times ever.
Well, I'm sure Martin has had plenty of success with it, with some of the women that he's attempted to date in Miami.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You're the one who bleaches your hair.
Right.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean you're high maintenance? So he was talking about how they had this sort of misunderstanding, and she just didn't understand me. And, you know, she talked about her poem, and it really, you know, it makes me, and the decisions that she's made about keeping certain people here has really made me question, you know, the decisions that she makes, and she needs to prove to me
that I can trust her.
And the thing that took me down was that he said, you know, she talked about in her poem how, you know, she wasn't really seen and she needs attention. And, you know, that really shows insecurity to me. Now, when you talk about her poem being a sign of insecurity, is probably, as someone who is not from the community that she has experienced this from, as a token Black girl in many of these situations, is so, excuse my French, gross that I cannot even think straight. The second that he said that, I said, I'm done. I'm finished. I can't believe he would say something like that. That her feeling like the token Black girl in all of her experiences and based on what she said in her poem, that was an insecurity and she needs to really let go of that trauma. What are you talking about? What?
He's playing mind games where he goes, I am the most evolved form of the species.
Ugh.
And you just need to hang out with me to learn how it's done.
Mm. So, Olu.
No one likes Martin. To be clear about that.
Yeah.
I think including Michelle.
Yeah.
No one likes Martin.
Pretty much. So Olu, being a reasonable person,
he decides to do something about it.
He says, you know what? I appreciate this. You know, maybe Olu thought to himself before he brought it up, I know it might not be me. And even if it's not going to be me, I want to make sure that the crop is so good that there's not a question about anybody that she would pick in the end of this.
I think everyone's just been biting their tongue so long.
Yeah.
And Olu was just kind of like, you know what? I gotta say something.
Right. And Olu and Michelle have had really good conversations over the course of the show. You know, he spoke very beautifully about his four sisters to her. I think the two of them had another conversation afterwards, or like in a different group date, that was really beautiful. And like, she trusts him, and anything that he would bring to her is the gospel, which I really appreciated. So Olu said that, you know, I'm going to use my time to essentially tell you what Martin said, but it was the right thing to do.
I don't know, honestly. If it was.
I
think it's him forfeiting his percent on the last conversation they're going to have. And I don't like that.
Well, which is why I said, like, maybe he thought to himself, I know it's not going to be me.
And that's I don't know any guy who thinks, I know it's not going to be me. Every guy has a little teeny tiny bit of Brandon inside of him that goes, yeah, what woman could resist me?
Right.
And I don't think he thought that.
And Olu said much of the same thing that I said, that, you know, he brought up your poem and he said, that really was the catalyst for me to bring this to you, because he's saying that as someone who's never dealt with it. And like, no, period.
So Olu tells Michelle this. Michelle goes, cool, I need to go talk to Martin.
Right.
And she basically just hands Martin the rope and he proceeds to hang himself.
Yep.
And that is exactly the way the conversation goes.
Yeah.
Right?
He said, you know, he said himself, my brutal honesty is my downfall, when she asked him, you know, what do you think your friends would say is your worst trait? That he was talking over her, and I wrote down one of the things that he said, and he was like gaslighting her during this entire conversation, which was so crazy. He said, can I tell you what I said? Am I allowed? Like, what is wrong with him? What is wrong with him?
It's funny because I don't want to say things about the production that I don't know are true. I think they may have showed her the tape of what he was saying to Olu and the guys. Because she comes out and she goes, I know you're saying this and this and this about me. And it's like weird. And why would you be saying that if we're trying to date here?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, no, I didn't say that. And everyone in the television audience went, bro, it's right on
no,
the
girl,
tape.
No, girl, you said that.
I watched you say it 1 minute ago.
Yeah, no, girl, you said
and,
that.
And, you know, the editing is clever here, where you know, they'll show him saying it and then cut to the conversation with Michelle. And he goes, I didn't say that.
Right.
And so I think there's a shot. Because as soon as he said, I didn't say that, she goes, you're gone. You're officially gone.
Yeah.
I know you're lying. I think they may have showed her the tape.
And I'm fine with that. And, like, he even said to her, like, I apologize for maybe speaking over you. Like, get him out of here. He's so disgusting.
And so she gets him out of there.
And so
he's
gone.
He's just escorted out. He's done. He does not finish the group date.
No.
He leaves. Great news for everyone.
And he gets in the van and says some more gross stuff. And I think he's going to have a great time on Paradise.
I think maybe if he just had a couple more accessories in his face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how a person like that can walk into a show like this thinking that only 11 or 12 is enough.
No.
You got to keep going.
I think
make yourself really stand out.
I think he needs a tattoo, like right on his hairline, like on the back of his hairline, you know.
Just give me something.
Something.
Just anything.
Cartilage piercing, something.
Mike Tyson face tattoo.
Oh yeah, that would be cool.
Something.
So on the group date, Nate gets the rose. And he is officially in the
final
four.
He was always going to get the rose.
And it is happening for him.
So we're gonna meet Nate's weird dad who doesn't want to talk about this next week.
Great. who's our final one?
Let's move on. There's a one-on-one date with Brandon.
And again,
and it is a feel-good date.
It's a walkabout.
Lots to joke about.
You know, as you know, Michelle's students are planning all these dates. And so this is basically a day where they go get ice cream and hang out at her house.
It's such a little kid plan date. Yeah, you get ice cream and then go back to your house. That's the date. That's romance.
That sounds amazing to me. Again, all of these dates, aces. Aces.
I like to think little teeny tiny Luke is sitting there like, I want to take a girl to get ice cream and then take her to my house. So, that's what Michelle's going to do.
I love it.
She's going to do my date. So, well, he doesn't say Michelle. He would say Mrs. Young.
Right.
Anyway, so they go get ice cream.
What's your thing about Brandon? We struggle.
Brandon is, I said this a little bit in Power Rankings last week. I want to make fun of Brandon because he's so easy to make fun of.
He's eager like a puppy.
He's trying so hard to be smooth. He doesn't know what adults talk about or like how adults make impressions on each other. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really naive and it's just childish and puppy-like, but it's sincere.
It is. And that's the thing I struggle with. He is so... he seems very earnest and green.
He's a good person.
And he's a great... He's not, a good person. He's so sweet.
He's not trying to trick you with this nice guy smooth persona.
No, no. That's just, like, really him.
He just doesn't know how adults talk to each other.
Yeah, that's, like, really him.
He's a good dude. He's actually a good guy.
It's like, it's... you even said that he dresses like he's going to homecoming.
Yeah.
And, like... You know, sometimes I look at him and I'm like, is that two kids in a trench coat? You know?
Is that little boy Luke who just went through some weird growth spurt?
Right.
You know, some body transformation.
Right. And now, you know, he is a 17-year-old man.
It's just weird.
It's... Oh, God.
Hey, girl, let's play Pokemon cards.
Oh, my God. That's what he said. Oh, my God. He's talking about the Pokemon cards in that voice.
And the thing is...
Let's go to my room and listen to the new Drake.
Let's go to my room.
And listen to the new Drake album.
We keep the door open because that's what my parents like.
Yeah, and we got to keep all 4 feet on the floor. Right?
And it's not cheesy.
No.
It's just young. He's just immature.
It's almost like really syrupy, too, where...
Interesting that you wrote that, because I wrote sugary.
Yeah, and
it's
I can't put my finger on it, but it's almost like, it's saccharine, and like, So.
This date was just splendid.
It was just splendid. So, after the ice cream, they go to Michelle's house, and, you know, she gives them the tour. I just so appreciate that. It's very clear that Michelle is driving her car around Minneapolis. You know, they obviously washed it, but like, you know, she's like, you can see the scuffs on the steering wheel and, you know, you can see like the cracks in the leather on her seats. Like she's real. And like the house that they go to, her parents' house, is their real house. It's not some like McMansion that somebody rented and like, put a bunch of pictures in. Like, this is her home.
It's a Midwestern family house.
It's a Midwest split level. Yes.
Hot tub in the back.
A lot of wood paneling.
Pictures of the kids.
Yes.
You know, I've never seen this outside the Midwest. The old, like, big picture in the middle the, like, clock of tiny pictures around the outside of it.
Oh, my God.
I've seen that.
It's very specific.
In so many Midwestern houses and never... Anywhere outside of the Central Time Zone.
It's very specific. And I love it. And it makes me that much more connected to Michelle. So she's like, so do you want to get in the hot tub? Obviously, Brandon doesn't have any swim trunks. So Michelle says, we'll just borrow a pair of my dad's.
It's the most high school date of all time.
It is. Yes. And so they get into the hot tub and just make out all afternoon.
And Brandon says, I like you. You know, because that's what as
a 17-year-old boy would say, you know, when you bring him home after school because you guys are going to, quote unquote, do homework.
Yeah, watch a movie or something.
Yeah, you're going to watch TRL and do homework.
I don't want to be critical of Brandon because I think it's sweet.
He's sweet.
It's just really age inappropriate. He is the wrong maturity level for his physical age. It's very strange. And this is a man
who wants to marry you.
He's big. Marriage. He's Tom Hanks in Big. This is a little boy who ended up in a grown man's body.
So, surprise.
Sorry. What I meant is, this is a little boy who ended up in a grown man's swimming trunks.
Oh, God. So, surprise. Michelle's parents come home.
This is the moment of the episode.
It's
maybe the moment of the season.
So, Michelle's parents come out to the patio. They are, Michelle and Brandon are making out in the hot tub. And everybody meets.
Everybody meets. What do? You stand up and you shake a man's hand.
Well,
how you meet a guy.
Well, as Brandon did, he stood up with an erect penis.
Dangerous.
To shake her father's hand in her father's swim trunks.
And the thing about swimming trunks and just any pants that have been in water.
Sure.
They're going to be tight.
They're going to be tight. And, you know,
you're not hiding that boner anyway.
I can't imagine that Brandon is wearing compression shorts under those swim trunks.
No, he is going skin to skin.
I bet Michelle's dad probably told him, you know, why don't you just keep them? We can get another pair.
Just throw those away.
Let's just throw them out. It's fine.
There's not enough chlorine in the world in this hot tub to make me comfortable with touching those again.
So how did you feel about the interaction between Michelle's parents and her and Brandon?
It's the most just Midwestern polite parents. The thing that I wrote down is Midwestern parents are so easy to please.
Yeah.
They want to like you. They're not putting you through a rigorous test.
No.
They're putting you through a very easy test.
Right.
And
they're like, can you speak? Do you seem nice? Is she looking at you? Great.
It's her parents are just the most wholesome little
thing. They're really nice people.
And, you know, it wasn't hard. Even a guy like Brandon could pass this.
Yeah.
And for his sake, you know, when Brandon talks, he is so optimistic and positive. Like a child who's never been exposed to any sort of difficulty in his life.
Or, you know, or like the harsh
realities of adult life.
Even left home before college. Right,
cooking for yourself.
Mm.
You know.
I bet he knows how to boil water, but that's pretty much it. Because he's only eating 99 cent ramen before he goes to basketball practice.
So it felt positive, but it also felt very shallow.
Yes. So, of course, Brandon, who says he's an old soul, and I laughed.
Hey, girl, I'm an old soul.
I laughed because I thought that was so funny. He asked her parents for their blessing in case the jump off occurred.
Literal first words out of his mouth. She leaves and goes, I'm going to let you talk to my parents right now. She exits scene left.
Yep.
And the first words out of his mouth are, listen, so if we get engaged, are you cool with that? I just want to be sure that we're cool. I have your blessing.
And they said, well, whatever Michelle decides, we're going to be okay with that, which is a non-answer.
Ugh, Midwestern parents are the best.
They're the best.
I trust my kid.
Right, I trust my kid, which also means that, Brandon, you don't really get to make that decision.
Now could be the time to ask a hard-hitting question.
Right.
But it's not.
But the thing is that Brandon is so dumb, he did not read between the lines to really hear what her parents were saying.
What were they saying?
They were saying...
Are you going to translate the Midwestern parent for the rest of the audience?
They were saying that this is actually Michelle's decision. It's cute that you think it is your own decision. We're going to let you feel like you really did something here. And that's it. Yeah.
It was very high school. It's just so hard to believe... This is an adult who could be married to somebody soon.
It's a 27-year-old man. So they have the evening portion of the date. I really didn't learn any new stuff about Brandon. He talked a little bit about who Michelle would meet if he went to her hometown and about how his relationship with his grandfather was really impactful to him. And he gets the evening date rose.
He's just only got one speed of conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's like 12-year-old wannabe gigolo. It's not...
A.K.A. Drake.
It's not bad, but it's not appropriate either.
No.
So yeah, that's it.
So
he is what he is. At this point, if Brandon upsets you, it's your fault.
Right.
You know, he is what he is, and that's what he is. And it's sweet, but it's not going
to
win.
It's not going to win. So we get to the rose ceremony, and Michelle makes her final four picks. So I think it's time for us to do the end of the road. So as we do with our power rankings at this stage in the game, we go through all four of the people that are left. But before we do that, let's talk about the gentlemen that are no longer with us.
Let's start with Clayton.
Yeah.
He's going to be the next Bachelor.
Okay. I'm not excited.
The show has had people get trained and become more interesting between being a contestant and being the lead. It's happened before.
Sure.
It doesn't mean he's any more exciting. Is it going to happen here? I don't know.
I don't know.
Who the hell cares? Yeah. He's not bad. He's just boring.
He's boring, and he needs orthodontia.
Let's talk about Martin.
Martin dug his own hole, and dug it a long time ago.
He's a problem.
He is a piece of honestly. He is arrogant. He is a prick. I'm sorry. He is not a nice person. He's super into himself. Talk about somebody who's high maintenance. And that whole, I'm brutally honest thing is not actually attractive. There are a lot of people out there that think brutal honesty is actually a kind thing to do, but it's actually not.
You know what's kind? Just honesty.
Just regular honesty.
If you're being honest and it comes across as brutal, then you're just brutal.
You're just being mean. Yeah.
If you're being honest and it comes across as nice, it's probably because you're nice. When you're being honest, the way that people take it is the way that you mean it.
Yeah.
There's no other way to interpret that. If you think it's brutal honesty, it's just that you're brutal.
I can't imagine he has much success dating someone. And to whoever, he ends up being with long term, Godspeed.
Sorry. Yeah. Let's talk about Rick.
Oh, I love Rick Griffin so much. He was so sweet, so gentle, super kind. I know Rick is not, per the show, Bachelor material, but I know more about Rick than I know about Clayton. And that's not good.
There's a lot to like about Rick. The thing that I don't like is that he's just very serious.
He is serious. He's super, he's intense.
He's serious because he's invested in you. Yeah. You know, he's a good person. He's trying hard. I'm sure there is a significant percentage of women who get along great dating a guy like Rick.
Yeah.
And he's fine for a lot of people. Great. I like to have a little bit more fun with the guys that I date. Just a little bit more fun.
Just a little bit more fun than with the guys that you date. I heard that.
A little bit more fun, but Rick is a winner.
Rick is really sweet, and I think Rick also is going to play well in Paradise.
I thought he was a Final Four lock.
Oh, me too. Me too.
I thought he was.
Yeah. And then finally, we have Olu. Olu, I am really surprised by how connected to him I felt. Over the course of the show, he really made a name for himself. He is so sophisticated, excellent dresser, really open, warm. I like him a lot. I like him a lot. I'm going to miss him.
It's almost like you've never been listening to my power rankings.
I don't listen to your power rankings because your power rankings are whack.
I like Olu the most of everybody here.
Yeah.
Now that Leroy's gone. And Olu was great. He had a perfect season.
He had a perfect season.
He had no real mistakes.
Nope.
He's intelligent. He is well-liked among the house.
He used his percent for all the right reasons, really. When he did
tonight.
But no, I think when he talked about people, he made it a point to be like, I'm not talking about people, but I need you to know. I mean, what Martin said was so egregious where it was like he had to say something.
Yeah, but you're the last group date, the last chance to talk to her ever before the hometown roses. The stakes are so high.
I don't know. Again, I think he knew he wasn't going to make it.
Well, he's going to go on Paradise, and he is going to have competition for him.
Yeah.
He's going to be like Serena P. He's going to show up, and everyone else on the other side is going to look at him and go, I came here for that.
That's my man.
Let's do power rankings. Okay. Let's talk about the four guys who are left.
So before we get into this, I think this is a history-making moment. This is the first time that there have been four black guys in the final. Ever. And I think that's a really big deal. It's a testament to Michelle, and, you know, maybe it's a testament to the casting. I don't know. But something to talk about.
It's, for what it's worth, it's good casting. There's no villains left on these top four.
Everybody's strong. Everybody, you know, there's something to like about them. You know, what your preference is remains to be seen.
But. I mean, there's, and I haven't met all four of these guys' parents yet. I've met Michelle's parents. There's five mixed race parental sets here.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And like, you count the two of us in here as the sixth pair because this is our show.
Well, there's, I mean, it's, you know, having a white mom and having a white dad is different.
The world is evolving.
The world, I mean,
on our podcast.
Yes, it's happening in real time.
I just counted us as part of the couple.
You did. We're not part of the couple. Who's your number four?
My number four is everyone's number four. It's Rodney.
It's Rodney. So is mine. Oh, no.
I like Rodney is probably the best dude here. He seems, he's so happy, he's so likable,
he's so excited to be here.
Not in the same physical category as the other three guys.
I would be, I mean, you know, obviously week three is the week. I would be surprised if she would want to have
wow I never him. Even thought about that. It is,
I would be, I mean,
what percentage, Joe and what Nate, percentage chance
Joe and Nate 100%. Absolutely no question. Brandon's know time. If he knows where to put it. Brandon doesn't know where to put it. And
Brandon's first time.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a kid from American Pie. Oh, that's where no. Brandon belongs.
Oh no. Brandon was the one that did it. And Rodney, I feel like this might be a lot of information. I feel like he gets really sweaty and he's sloppy.
I feel like if you only wanted,
you know what I mean?
If you only wanted to sleep with Nate and Joe, and you were worried about having to tell a third guy you're going to go to the fantasy suite, but nothing's going to happen.
Rodney would be, oh no!
He would be maybe the all-time best contestant to take that news well.
Oh no!
But still,
yeah. I mean, I would even like throw a mulligan and be like, "Can we just?
You just can I just we do just two?
Can we? Yeah. Can we just lump the fantasy suite week into the week where they meet my parents?" Because also, when you think about it, Brandon's already met her parents.
Yeah.
So he can't reasonably go to the final two.
He could.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. No, you're making rules where there are no rules.
Okay.
But I just, I feel like I keep saying this now. I keep saying this, like, why is Rodney still here? But why is Rodney, I don't want to just hate on the nice guys.
No, Rodney's sweet, but Rodney is just not for her.
Okay. Who do you have at number three?
My number three is Brandon.
Ah. Tell me what you think about Brandon.
I think we've talked about
him. She likes two guys more.
She likes two guys more. And, you know, I think Brandon thinks he's ready to get married.
I've got Joe at number three.
Oh.
Because I just don't like Joe. I like Brandon more than I like Joe.
Wow. That's pretty big.
Brandon could have a conversation with me.
Brandon could have a conversation.
I value conversation and intellect a lot. I value that. Joe doesn't do it for me.
Joe brought up in his final date before hometowns that his grandparents owned a dairy farm and then kissed her.
How sweet. How romantic.
Wow. Who's your number two?
We're just going to transpose here. I like Brandon and you like Joe.
Yeah, Joe is my number two. I think she is still really attached to Joe. There's something about him that she's just like, this is it. But as we both know, I think she likes somebody more than that.
The only person you could like the most is Nate right
it's
now.
Nate. It's Nate.
He's my number one. He's your number one. Yeah. If you're watching it, he's your number one.
I think, you know, Nate still has a barrier to entry in terms of, you know, sharing some of his trauma. And as we transition to bold predictions, I think that is going to be the catalyst.
Maybe
for
he
him.
Knows that's a viable strategy in this game.
And
holding your cards close to the vest until the end.
I mean,
is
it kind
a,
of is.
You can win.
It kind of is because, you know, once you incur the dynamic, then he's able to really articulate it to you. It seems like
I feel so bad that Brandon could have had this unintentional boner incident with Michelle's dad.
God,
and he's not even going to get to win.
No,
I mean. That's, I mean, listen.
You met her father with an erect penis.
Could you imagine a more embarrassing scenario? Could you imagine a worse way to meet a father of a woman you're interested in than wearing his clothes, kissing his daughter erect.
I mean, this also sounds like an afternoon at a teenager's house, honestly. Like, your parents come home early from work, they bring you McDonald's because they know you're at the house, and then, you know, you walk, you're trying to find your child, and then you walk into the backyard, and everybody's making out in their underwear in a hot
tub. In the water! I'm sorry, swim over, shake his hand, stay in the water.
I mean, you know, I went to a feeder school, so my parents would know everybody that would be in the hot tub if it was somebody.
And if Michelle knew this was coming, she should have held off on it, because that is a chemical reaction that you don't decide on. Mm-mm. And she is also partially at fault here.
So what are your bold predictions? So we candidly have a lot of white moms next week. So I think there's going to be a lot of tears here.
I really don't super know. I think Joe's parents are going to be the interesting parents, because they will have had the opportunity to maybe know who she is.
Oh, okay. I accept.
But also,
yeah,
because
okay,
they're going to be Midwestern parents like her Midwestern parents.
Right.
There's not going to be drama. It's going to be interesting, but there's not going to be any drama with Joe's parents because they're Midwestern parents.
Right. I think, like we said, Nate is going to probably have the biggest hurdle here, because Nate has been so likable for this entire process. And his whole narrative identity has been, I'm the alpha. And so this is the opportunity for the show to show him as a human being amongst us.
Nate is beyond the threshold where stuff like that could possibly hurt him.
Right.
It would take something borderline criminal for Nate to lose based on just one interaction at this point.
Yeah, but I think the key is going to be how he handles the meltdown, because he has not shown anybody that any of this stuff really bothers him.
He's going to handle it smoothly. It's the only flavor he's got.
I hope that is what we see.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hometown's next week. And Thanksgiving is this week. So that's pretty cool.
I'm thankful for hometowns next week.
I'm thankful
that Martin's gone.
Martin is gone. Yes, that's it. Hello. Exactly it. So, well, everybody enjoy. Fill your bellies, and see you later.
If you don't like drama, why are you the bachelorette? I'm really like an anti-drama person. It's the bachelor, it's the bachelorette. Like, there's drama, a sea of drama. Yes, it can cause drama.
Get into it. Drama.
Many people who buy into the drama.